Hey you, how's it going? My name is Ruby Price and you are listening to the 18th ever episode of Fresh From The Scene. Before this podcast gets going, I'm just going to make a point that there have been a lot of building works going on my street, and if you can hear like a sort of low-pitched rumbling at any point in the background, I apologise. I really didn't want to reschedule this interview because, yeah, this band are a band that I've wanted to get on Fresh From The Scene since I started it. Because when I first saw them, they absolutely blew me away, and I've been following them ever since, and oh my god, they're just a fantastic group of people. But if you enjoy this podcast, please consider sharing it on social media. That's basically the main way this podcast will get any traction. If you want to find the podcast on Twitter, you can find it at FFTScene, that's FFTScene, or you can also find me on Twitter at Rubes, RUUBEZ. I'm also on Instagram, Rubes001. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you could possibly scroll down and leave a nice little review. It really helps out algorithms and stuff like that, making the podcast heard by more people. And who's going to complain about that? And finally, as well, if you want to make a one-off donation, I do have a Ko-fi account. There'll be a link in the description if you'd like to just leave, you know, for the price of a coffee, you can support this podcast and maybe help me have a series 2, because those fees will be due very soon, and I am definitely not in a position to keep this going currently, which is sad. Anyway, now that that's out the way, I hope you enjoy this podcast featuring Alex and Amy from Witch Fever on Fresh From The Scene.
You're listening to Fresh From The Scene with your host, Ruby Price.
Welcome to Fresh From The Scene. Today's guests are Witch Fever.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good.
All right. Good. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Sound?
That's good. So who are Witch Fever?
Oh, God.
We're a punk band from Manchester.
Yes. That's about it. Been going like 4 years. Just, you know, making music.
Making a racket.
Yeah.
So obviously I've got Amy and Alex on the show. Who else is in Witch Fever?
Alicia and Annabelle.
Mm-hmm.
All A's.
Yeah, all A's.
Yeah. So I'm bassist, Amy sings, Alicia's guitarist and Annabelle's drummer.
Recently you were down in Bedfordshire recording at Argon Studios. What made you decide to go there?
We're working with a label at the moment that we haven't announced yet, but it was their
friend.
It was their suggestion. So that was why.
You probably can't tell me because labels and stuff, but that's obviously for new music.
Yes. Yeah, some very exciting new music.
Yes. But yeah, we can't. We can't really talk much about it.
I'll go back to, like, you know, the last thing that you can possibly talk about then. So earlier this year, I think it was, you were recording with Alan McGee, famously of Creation Records.
Yeah, so we did the recording elsewhere, but Alan mixed it with us.
Yeah, that was crazy experience.
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
Yeah, how did that come about?
Our manager, Debbie, is basically being friends with him for a really long time. I think they kind of grew up together. It's just like teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she got us in contact with him and he agreed to work with us, which was really cool.
And I'm assuming, you know, you're very happy with the way that those two tracks were received, Berserker and The Hollow.
Yeah.
They sound crazy.
Yeah, we like them.
It was just like, make everything sound like Joy Division, which I'm happy with.
How was it working with someone like that who's, you know, been considered basically legendary amongst particularly the Manchester music scene?
Yeah, it was kind of surreal for me. Like, I grew up listening to, like, Slow Dive, like, My Bloody Valentine, Jesus and Mary Chain, like, that kind of thing. So I've kind of, like, idolised a lot of his bands for a while. But it was really down to earth, like, really easygoing. None of us are really into Oasis, so I think we weren't, like, struck by that kind of connection. Yeah. But yeah, he was, like, super down to earth, super chilled. Like, his son was in the studio with us. It was just really easy going.
Yeah, it was like, he's, just because he's so, like, chilled. It was like fine, because they're obviously, if you're like working with someone that's like got such a big name, there's obviously potential for like it to be really intimidating and to be like quite stressful. But Alan's just like,
he's totally, really humble. Yeah, really humble.
He's a great guy, so it was like absolutely fine.
I for one really enjoyed both those songs, by the way. Just thought I'd, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, the first time I actually saw you, you were, I had no idea who you were, and you were supporting Strange Bones at not Satan's Hollow, Night People. That's the venue in Manchester, right?
Yeah.
Like I saw you come on and I was like, okay, so give these guys a go. And then honestly, you just blew me away to the extent that I almost forgot about the second support act.
Thank you, you're welcome.
Obviously you are a band that's essentially at sort of like that support level. Who is a band that you really want to support?
Oh, there's a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, we were, for me, like we were meant to be supporting Show Me the Body earlier on this year, but lockdown meant that that gig was cancelled, so I'm like gutted about that because they're one of my favorite bands. But I think, like,
for me it's like Jenny Beth. Like Savages aren't really, I don't think they're doing anything currently, but like Savages, Jenny Beth, that kind of thing would be my dream.
Or like, oh, I don't know, do you know a band called Horror,
as in H-O-9909? Yeah, I saw them supporting Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes earlier this year.
I would like love to do something with them, to like support them. But I mean, there's loads of
Fire Boys, like pigs.
Yeah. there's so many bands that like we would like love to support. So
anyone heavy, really?
Heavy. We often get put on lineups that are like, we're always the heaviest in 9 times out of 10 we're the heaviest in a lineup at a gig. And I feel like maybe because we're women, people underestimate our sound and just assume that we're not going to be as heavy as we are. So like from now on, we're really looking to like be gigging with heavy bands. It'd be great to be in a lineup with a band that's heavier than us.
Yeah, we've done a lot of gigs with like even like acoustic sets, like just because it's like all like women.
Yeah.
we want to be pigeonholed more in a heavier scene, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, on that note as well, obviously, like when you guys announced that you were being sponsored by Orange Amps, you got a lot of shit. That's not really something new from what I've noticed whilst following you guys. Do you think there is just some sort of assumption that women shouldn't be in the scene that you're in?
The Orange Amplifiers one was really weird, because like typically when we've had comments, it's been like based off something more than just literally a picture of me and Amy. Like all those comments, like they haven't even like bothered to listen to our music or anything. They just saw like two girls like playing music and was just like, they couldn't stomach the fact that like we were achieving something that they obviously like want to.
Yeah,
just kind of like drew all the like incels out of the woodwork.
Yeah, but totally. I mean,
just gotta laugh it off, innit?
I know it's just bizarre. Like it's ridiculous that people can get so wound up, and like men were commenting, like 50-year-old men were commenting like, oh, I've been buying your amps for 40 years and you've never like given me, like these girls have been around for what, 2 months, and
like, oh yeah, you get put down in the scene for being women, but then the second you do well, it's just because you're a woman that you've been given the opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, you can't win either way.
No.
We're just kind of trying to see the humour in it, though, for sure.
As someone that, like, gets a lot of unrequested, you know, criticism just because I'm trans, like, it's so fucking annoying. But the best thing to do about it just seems to be to make a joke of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It's really annoying that, like, people feel the need to just, like, tell you their opinion of you when you haven't asked for it, and like it's not even about the music or the content or whatever, it's like about you as a,
your identity.
It's
nothing like you can help or like that is to do with your craft or your personality or your talent or your skill. It's just like purely just based off like how you present to people.
It's
superficial.
Totally.
And like I imagine as well, as annoying as it will be, like you'll get a lot of comments about like the sort of outfits you're wearing on stage and stuff.
Yeah. I think it's like, it's just not that deep. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Like,
we obviously don't, we just don't think about it that much. The gig that you came to see, I was wearing like a slightly sheer bra, and like me and my mom had a huge fallout about it. Like saying that I was like, I think she wants to protect me somewhat, and was like, she was kind of thinking I was like trying to attract unwanted attention and stuff. But like, people don't understand that, like, if you're playing on stage, like, A, it's really hot.
Yeah.
Like, it's really warm. And also, like, I don't coordinate everything to that moment. Like, I'm just wearing what's comfortable.
Yeah.
Or not. I wear a lot of outfits that are uncomfortable too.
That's true.
Going off the whole women in the scene thing, obviously every time there's a festival announcement as well, there's always a big backlash about, usually it's like maybe one female involved band like being on a lineup of 20 blokes. Obviously this is an important thing, but just how important is it, especially for people like you who are in women bands?
It's hard. I think a lot of the bigger festivals, it's like it feels very like who you know, like who your booking agent is. It seems like it's a lot of like groups of guys that all know each other and help each other out, kind of thing. Like, we've never really had any success with festival lineups at all. I think it's like its own kind of little like clicky
environment. You've got to get like the right booking agent, really, because it's all, I saw a few posters for different festivals, but their lineups were booking agents instead of the bands. And it's like three booking agents that do the entire festival across like the UK and across America. Mm. So it's like, it is that, but then also obviously like gender does, or will obviously play a part, because it's not equal yet. Although I think Glastonbury is now.
Isn't it? Primavera is. Primavera is really good.
Yeah. But this is the thing, it's like Glastonbury and Primavera have proven that it's not, because like the response that like Leeds Fest gave to that was like, well, no one, it's we book
bands that are good enough.
We book the bands that people listen to most, but it's like that's not the case, because people, if it was 50-50 lineup, people would go. And also, like, people going to the festivals, like women that are going to the festivals, queer people are going to the festivals, they have just as much of a right to see themselves represented on the stages that men do. So it's like, it's,
it like perpetuates itself.
Yeah,
like people only see like all male bands, and then like that's what they'll listen to. Like, a lot of people don't like go after music in the same way that musicians do. Like, you kind of listen to like your immediate scene, and it's like, it just perpetuates like the cycle of it. If you're just constantly being like, the only bands being put in front of an audience are like all male bands.
Yeah, totally.
Would you say then that more artists need to commit to only playing at like festivals that have got the 50-50 split? Like, Matt Healy famously came out earlier this year saying that he was only going to do it, but
I think it's up to the people booking. More so
with Matt Healy, the thing is, Matt Healy is in like a very privileged position to be able to say, I'm only gonna go to I'm only gonna play festivals that have a 50-50 lineup, because if we did that, we would get nowhere. We have to accept that, we have to take the opportunities in order to like
be given more opportunities,
have more of a platform to talk about why that's important. But if we were like, we're not going to play a festival unless it's 50-50 split, we would just never play a festival, because no one is going to listen to us. But people will listen to Matt Healy because he's a white man in a fucking famous
shit band.
Yeah, again, like you were just saying, all they're going to do is just take someone else who is happy to play, you know, like a 90-10 split, or would even prefer a 100-0 split.
Yeah, they can find anyone really quickly. So it's just like,
you take your spot if you get it.
Yeah,
yeah,
pretty much, yeah.
So something I sort of wanted to know about is like, what it is that got Witch Fever to being Witch Fever? You know, like, how did you get into music, and how did you decide that the band you wanted to be was going to be, well, Witch Fever?
I don't know. We started off as a different lineup. So for the first year, Alex wasn't with us. And like, we didn't really know what our sound was. We didn't really know what the fuck was going on. We were just like writing music.
And more like an energy. Trying to capture energy.
Yeah. And then Alex joined. And basically, like, we never started out being like, right, we're gonna talk about feminism. We're gonna be vocal about what it's like to be a woman in music. But it got to the point where we felt like we couldn't not talk about it, because every gig we were in some way being some kind of misogyny, some sort of sexism. And it,
like, you didn't have you had to talk about it, because
yeah, we didn't have a choice. We didn't have a choice. And also, whenever I do talk about it on stage, there's so many people in the room who are excited that I'm talking about it, not because I'm saying anything that's groundbreaking, just because people, like, not enough bands do talk about it on stage, because a lot of the time they're all men, so like, why would they talk about it? Although that's a whole other thing in itself, because like, I think men should talk about it more. But I think I've gone off on a tangent.
Yeah, what I'm saying. I think sound wise we sound like Witch Fever, because we're all into really different music.
Yeah,
like all of us kind of, I mean, it's all under the kind of like guitar rock category, but we all listen to like very different corners of it. And I think like over lockdown we were trying to write songs like not in the same room, and it's like impossible to get the width of the sound without all of us being there, because like I write something, it just sounds like a post-punk song, like at least it sounds like Black Sabbath.
Yeah, like
we all need to be together, and that's what kind of makes it what it is.
Totally.
Yeah,
so would you say that, you know, Riot Girl has any impact in what you've become?
Not for me in terms of sound.
Not in terms of sound, but like indirectly, definitely.
Like attitude.
Yeah.
And like aesthetic, I guess.
And the politics around it.
Yeah.
But yeah, not in terms of sound, really.
Yeah. Maybe like historically a bit, but not so much now, I don't think.
Yeah.
So on something that you were just talking about earlier, where it's like the men talking about the problems that women are facing during like gig scenarios and even outside of gig scenarios, do you think it sort of says a lot that it's always one male fronted act out of like 100 that goes viral because they stopped a gig for like something going on in the audience?
It really irritates me when a man says something like men should speak about it, and like it is a good thing, it is absolutely a good thing, but it annoys me when a man says something not that groundbreaking and gets way more attention than all of the women that have been saying it for however long. It does irritate me a bit. Like, and we're kind of like picking at something that, you know, obviously it's a good thing that they stop gigs for sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously it's a good thing to celebrate like women within the scene, but they do, it's like they just get given like a big pat on the back, and like,
yeah,
it comes across as kind of transparent, and like they're doing it for stick rather than actual sincerity.
Yeah I mean, it's hard, isn't it, especially like with social media, like it's really difficult to know
what's true, what's sincere,
who's just trying to like score points, who actually like away from social media is thinking about it and is like putting the actual work. It's like the Black Lives Matter movement, like in the upsurge of it recently, it's like it's sort of a similar thing in that you like, it's great to post stuff online and like be vocal about it online, but then if you're putting your phone down and then that's the end of it for you, then that's not enough. I don't know, it's a difficult one, isn't it?
It's difficult to navigate, and I think it's like really like based on like individuals, but some of it is you can tell when it's just for clout.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean, when someone a band just like claims to celebrate women, but you know, like behind the scenes it's a different story.
Yeah
You've mentioned writing music in lockdown. Obviously lockdown has gone on a lot longer than I think anyone expected, and like recently we've had like the let the music play campaign and the We Make Events thing. Would you say the music industry existing is currently under threat?
I think it always existed in one way or another. I think it's a shame to see like music venues shutting down. Like I know like there's Humber, the session stuff in Hull, which is shutting down. Obviously Gorilla and Deaf Institute were going to be, but they're now not.
Yeah,
I think it's a shame that like the independent scene for venues is dying, and like a lot of my friends at the minute are out of work, like promoters and stuff, which obviously sucks. But I think music will still,
I think it'll come back.
It absolutely will exist. Like everyone listens to music, everyone loves music.
We've just got to hope that the venues are still there when
but you know, like new venues will pop up and stuff, like I think it will just
restore itself.
So which of your songs that you've currently got out is probably, you know, your favorite to play live?
Berserk is my favorite, but I find it the hardest to play.
Berserker wears me
Berserker
out.
Is a bitch to play. Like my hand cramps like crazy.
It's very like energetic from just listening to it.
Toothless is always fun to play. That's a really good one.
Probably Daddy Part 2 for me.
I don't know that one.
I like that one.
But some of the new stuff we've been recording is like absolutely like my favourite.
Yeah,
the new stuff's really...
Yeah, that stuff feels really old now.
It's weird.
It's weird like when you're sitting on new music and like you can't share it yet. It's frustrating. But
I find it like incredibly cathartic. And like a really good stress release to play live. I do really miss like accessing that kind of like persona and like part of myself, like not being able to like be out and be that person.
It's been really hard. It's hard not to be playing live.
Like I moved back with my parents for like 2 months over lockdown and just like lived as like a child again. Do you know what I mean? Like I didn't have anything that I normally do and like who I normally am, and I found it like it's really nice, but I do like miss that whole part of myself.
Same, being
like fierce.
I absolutely miss gigs at the minute. It's so fucking frustrating being one, being stuck inside, two, being stuck under a government that doesn't know what it's doing, and three, not being able to get the escapism that, you know, comes with live music.
It's
I mean, we've been practicing a fair amount, which has been good. That's kind of been easing it. At least we've got that again.
Yeah, that's true. We can practice now, but yeah, just a waiting game, isn't it?
For sure.
I don't know if all the megabuses everywhere though.
Of course.
When I was researching for this podcast, like I saw a photo on your Instagram being absolutely... One of you was very happy to be in the photo, and the other one was sort of, you know, all right. And it was a photo with a Slipknot bassist just ahead of the House of Vans show. Obviously Slipknot means a lot more to one of you than the other.
I was fucking buzzing. That was that was like, that was sick. But I didn't initially, like, I didn't know who he was because obviously they
wear masks.
I'm just gonna shut my window, hang on.
I do like Slipknot. I do really like them, not as much as Amy.
Initially, like, because obviously they wear masks, I didn't know who he was, and then someone said to me like, oh, by the way, that's the bassist of Slipknot, and I was like, what the fuck? And then like I got introduced to him and I was just like, I was just so embarrassing.
You were totally fine.
I guess so, but it was just sick that he like saw us play, like, because they're like one of the biggest bands in the world. It was crazy, but yeah, I was very excited.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Slipknot, but yeah, they're not everyone's cup of tea. They're a lot.
Something that Slipknot are very famous for as well is like their anti sort of phone at gig message. Obviously, like, you've made a lot of comments about people posting photos of Witch Fever because of things that, like, that are on show during those photos. Like, how do you feel about, like, phones at gigs and stuff?
Generally, it doesn't bother me. It just depends what angle the phone's being held at and who's holding it.
Yeah, we have a lot of, like, quite a few times we've had, like, men who are, like, filming us but holding their phones by their waist, like, pointed upwards, but just like down by their side, and that makes me really uncomfortable.
We've had a few photographers do it as well.
We've had some, like, that, I mean, so many times photos are posted and like someone's in behind us, just like looking at our arses, so blatantly just staring, and it's like, it's just really annoying to, I don't know, maybe they can't help it. It's just like, it's just shitty when you see a photo of yourself and then in the background there's a guy like just looking at your arse. It's weird.
Yeah, it like diminishes everything you're doing.
Yeah.
Into like one picture of just like being like an object to someone again. But
yeah,
like it's like now it's like resoundingly positive.
Yeah,
like most people like are there for like sincere reasons.
Yeah, we don't have a phone rule.
No. It doesn't matter. If people want to video it and put it on their Instagram and stuff, like that doesn't bother me.
No.
I just don't like when there's like a big like blockade of old bald men.
Yeah,
filming. Yeah,
the ones who are usually at like the punk gigs and stuff as well.
Yeah, I saw Placebo play at the Albert Hall, and like Brian Molko got really, really annoyed about people being on their phones and like stopped the show like 3 times and like was like pointing at individual people, telling them off and saying he was going to get them kicked out. And like, I think that is totally not on.
Nah.
I felt like I was in an assembly being like told off at school.
Yeah, that's
like
shit.
You can't control an audience of people.
No.
Like, and most people are filming you because they're really happy to be there and they're proud and mm-hmm. they want to remember it. So,
yeah.
Who am I to tell people what to do?
Yeah, totally.
As someone who got into music videography because of the fact that I was filming gigs on phones, like, I don't think I'd be doing what I'm currently doing if I hadn't been, you know, just sort of there, like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For the people listening to a podcast, I was miming holding a phone up. How far do you think you can take Witch Fever? Like, obviously I want you to do well. Like, what do you consider like successful for a band like yourselves, and you know, where do you want to be on it?
If I can make enough money to live comfortably, that's the main goal.
Yeah.
Like, to have some money come back, like,
yeah,
into our own pockets. But
just have it as a career. Like, we're not looking to be like fucking
Slipknot.
Yeah.
I'd love that, but like,
we're not like out to be like world famous. Like, yeah, we're just out to make a living out of it and like make enough money so that is our job. That's literally like it.
Yeah, I think we're all hard workers as well. Like, we graft a lot.
Yeah,
like, we're definitely dedicated to, you have to have such a strong ethic to just, yeah, like do all the gigs, do everything constantly, and really like work, like it's just chipping away at it slowly.
Yeah.
But hopefully, fingers crossed,
mm-hmm,
we've got some exciting stuff coming up.
Yes.
Like, obviously as well, like the music industry is expensive to be in, and currently like the music industry as well doesn't have a lot of money going into the people at like the low to mid tier bands. Obviously like Spotify and stuff get a lot of hate for like the amount they're paying bands and stuff. Like, do you think something needs to be done about that?
Yeah, I just think it's a necessary evil now. Like,
yeah,
Spotify is never gonna change it so that they're gonna give artists more royalties because they don't have to. And artists, you know, as much as like I despise how little like music is valued, like intellectual property is valued,
yeah,
online, like it's a necessary evil.
Mm-hmm.
And it can open lots more doors. It's just, you kind of just it's just the way it is now.
Yeah.
I think, like, you know, lots of people talk about like the glory days of like vinyl and like actually making money through selling records, but
yeah,
it's just shifted now. There's still money to be made, and like merch in particular is like what bands tend to make most of their money off now.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to adapt.
Yeah, totally.
I don't agree with what Daniel X said though, where he was saying like bands just need to release more music. That's why they're not earning enough money on Spotify. Because you can release as many albums as you want, but if no one listens to it, it doesn't matter.
No.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, that was very, I thought that was very like abrasive comment to make.
It sort of ties, as I was gonna say, like it sort of ties into what you were saying earlier about like the 50-50 lineups. Like, artists can demand that like Spotify does something, or like they move away, like what Taylor Swift did with Apple Music, but she's Taylor Swift. Like,
exactly.
They're not going to let her not be on that platform because of how much money is going to be made from her like records being on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all about power dynamics.
Yeah.
And as smaller bands, you don't have any like power to influence these things. You kind of have to just try and make it work for you.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say this is why, like, platforms like Bandcamp, like the independent merch stores being on, like, Line and stuff, like Big Cartel and stuff, would you say that's why these are really, like, coming in strong for artists who are very much in the underground?
Yeah, I think it's nice. It's really nice when, like, fans want to support their bands directly, and, like, they know, like, they know that, like, streaming isn't like, financially viable for artists.
Yeah,
like it's nice to see, like, an audience wanting to engage more and wanting to support to the music that they love.
It's nice. Yeah, it's just the way it is, really.
Just gotta live with it.
Yeah, there's not much we can do.
Yeah, not until we're Taylor Swift. So
When we're Taylor Swift, we'll take over Spotify. And we'll do it all. There we go.
More money, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's what you mean by Witch Fever making it. Becoming Taylor Swift. Yeah.
Taylor Swift. We're gonna not be punk anymore. We're just gonna write an acoustic album and be Taylor Swift. That's it.
I can't think of anything worse.
Well, it's fair to say that, you know, the band's going in different directions.
Yeah, don't be expecting an acoustic album offer anytime soon.
No.
Well, you mentioned merch and supporting bands and stuff. Like, what is it that people can do to, you know, help bands, particularly in this current era of music that we're in with the lockdown and everything else?
Buy merch is definitely the best way.
Yeah.
Buying vinyl.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, like, obviously, if people don't have money at the minute, it's, you know, it's tough, but just, like, sharing stuff online, talking about bands, like, word of mouth goes a long way as well, and, like, internet support.
Yeah,
definitely.
And where are we going to see Witch Fever in 2021, provided, you know, the world doesn't end the way 2020 has been going?
Everywhere. Yeah. I want to play everywhere.
I've
got some making up to do.
We've got some exciting stuff coming, so just have to
keep an eye out.
Wait and see what happens.
Whilst I've still got you here, is there anything you'd like to plug, or anyone?
Phoebe Green, forever, always. She's just released a new single with Chesco Records. It's amazing.
Phoebe Green forever. We're plugging Phoebe Green, that's all we care about right now.
Yeah.
And if people want to find Witch Fever online as well, obviously you're on streaming sites, but, like, where do people go to find you?
Instagram's probably the main one.
We're on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, but Instagram's, like,
we've got Bandcamp as well, don't we?
Yeah, we've got Bandcamp.
Well, you know, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and I hope you have a good remainder of your day.
Thank you.
You too.
You're listening to Fresh from the Scene with Ruby Price.
Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed that. Big thank you to Amy and Alex for coming on the show. As I mentioned earlier, I really wanted to get Witch Fever on this podcast from the start. And finally, they're here. If you did enjoy it, please go and share it on social media. Make sure you tag the pages at FFTScene, that's FFTScene on Twitter, or at Rubes/Rubes001, depending on what platform you're using. There are obviously links in the description. There are, of course, links to Witch Fever in the description as well. So please do go and check them out. I'm so excited to hear the new music that they were recording at Orgon Studios. Hopefully there'll be another episode for you to listen to next week. Please remember to subscribe to Fresh From The Scene on whatever podcast platform you're listening to it on. And yeah, as always, I've been Ruby Price, and I'll see you next time.